minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording. With Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, everyone. Episode 118. TJ.
Mate, it's 6 a.m. in Melbourne, and where the fuck are you?
I'm currently in London, and it is 9:04 p.m.
Mate, it's still bright.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about when we were getting the Uber to the Airbnb. Yeah, I was asking the guy, when does it get dark? It doesn't get dark until after 9 o'clock, and it's been like 30 degrees today.
Wow, that's rare for London. I know, London. I've had such shit weather in London. But how was your flight? Fuck, if anyone's been watching and seeing a few little Insta stories, they would have seen you in luxury.
Yeah, it was a... So we used points to... I feel like I have to preface it. Anytime you're flying business first class, you need to preface it with the fact that you used points.
Do you think rich people do that? Like... Yeah, let's just say you're not rich.
Yeah, I think that, man, there were some interesting people who were doing pretty well. Bree is... this is the first time we've got... Bree is probably half a meter away from me watching live. And you can see her in the video. To explain the sort of technology we're using, it's sort of like Skype on steroids. You can see me, yeah. I can see you, you're in your car, it's still pitch black. But... No, so we went from Melbourne to Singapore, Singapore to London, in the Singapore first class from Melbourne to Singapore, and then Singapore to London. It's what they call their suites, which, it's
a double bed, mate, on an aeroplane.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I was told a few people that you were flying first.
Yeah.
And told them that you used points to do it.
Yeah.
And most of the people have been like, fuck me, how many points did he have? So, like, how many points do you actually have to do this shit?
It was like 350,000 points. So it's a lot of points, but we probably could have done... Because, yeah, if you look at it that way, we could have done a bunch of economy flights. But my thought behind it is reward tickets are quite hard to come by with a lot of airlines. So actually trying to redeem the flights is pretty hard. But the you're getting the most amount of value if you actually book first class or business. Using it for economy isn't that great when you can like fly to Europe or LA for super cheap at the moment.
How many calories did you consume whilst in the air?
It's an embarrassingly amount. Like, you'd think that they would have some sort of... they would be doing calorie counting for you. But there's literally, like... There was, I think, for lunch... Did I send you the photos or was it too big of a file to go on airplane Wi-Fi?
No, I got it. I was disappointed that they only gave you 100 megabytes of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that was shit. The Wi-Fi was annoying, but probably a good thing because I don't need to be... spending my whole time on a flight on Instagram. But
you sent me some lamb shanks that you had?
Yeah, the lamb shank wasn't the highlight. But we had like, just so much ridiculous food. But probably I want to talk about the shitty bits in the sense of not the first class shitty bits, but just the shit that happens when you travel. Just because I realize that people probably think I'm a piece of shit. If you're listening if people are listening in their car, there's nothing more annoying than JJ in London right now talking about his first class flights, which were really good, but I don't think it's having done business class, having done premium economy, I don't reckon, like there's not enough of a difference. Well, the difference you see is everyone's a little bit nicer to you. Like you have...
Yeah.
You know, rather than waiting for the toilet, they'll say, "Oh, Mr. Jansen, the toilet's unavailable, but we'll let you know." And they'll come and get you and just shit like that, which is...
Just tap on the shoulder. Time to poo now.
Yeah, time to poo. That's the title of this episode.
But time to poo.
But no, the problem that we had was
Just before you go on, you do realize that people in their car are probably going to be more annoyed that you're focusing on the negative bits of flying first class.
No,
because
most people
never fucking fly first class.
It's not specifically the flight. It was more just the clusterfuck that can be travel. So we arrived in Singapore. We had a 16-hour layover. I think it was 16 hours. It was like we arrived at 4 p.m. and our flight was at 9 a.m. And so we had an idea of going to a hotel, but we were we're looking at the flights while we were on the plane. And
the accommodation?
Yeah, the accommodation. And it wasn't that cheap. It was like if you wanted to be close to the airport, it was going to be like close to $300, which for I don't know, with a long trip
peasants
that we're doing.
Flying first class.
No, exactly. People might
the peasants who have infiltrated first class.
Well, they must have thought it was so weird because, like, I was asking the flight attendant about where to stay, and obviously, like, I've probably set them up with an unrealistic expectation of, you know, our sort of style, but we would have been happy with an Ibis. But anyway, so we decided that we'd just sort it out when we landed. Specifically on the, they had an advertisement for a free tour that you can do with Singapore Airlines if you're flying with them. Basically, if you've got a layover, you can spend a couple of hours and they'll take you out on a bus, which sounded sick, right?
Sick.
So we landed, went to get our bags. And we waited and waited, and it didn't come around. And this is how much of an amateur I am. I fucking went around the world 34 flights, and I still can't get it right. But on the flight that we were on, even though it was a layover, even though like we were staying overnight, they check the bags all the way through to London. But then the thing is that we only have the clothes that we're wearing. Like, we didn't bring extra clothes in our carry-on. We just had them as checked. So, that was the first stuff-up.
Like, you didn't shit yourself.
Yeah. Have you done that, though, before? Would you assume that it was going to be checked or, like, that you were going to be able to get access to your checked bag?
Not with that long of a layover. I'd assume that
you would get your bag, yeah?
Yeah, but first class, the whole service is that they... You shouldn't see your bags. You should just have the least amount of effort applied.
Also,
that's what first class is.
Yeah, but I think anyway, I think economy, the same thing would have happened. But anyway, we ended up going, we ended up deciding, okay, we'll just go out and find that bus, right? So we go through customs, get our stamp, you know, passport stamped, go to the information desk and say, hey, whereabouts is that bus? And that he says, oh, it's actually... before you go through immigration, and if you've gone through, you can't go.
Fuck off. So why couldn't you go back through? Can't you just line up?
Well, so this was the thing. He was, and we probably could have pushed back, but what we ended up doing was we went out of the airport. I don't even know if we actually didn't go outside. We stayed in, but went up a lift to get into... departures, because we were in arrivals, went into departures, went through security again, cleared immigration. But at that point, we haven't even spoken about Bree's food poisoning. We mentioned it on last episode, but Bree was still feeling shithouse. So the big thing with flying first class, which my mate Marshy, who we've got to get on, because Marshy is like a points hacker. He's amazing at all of this stuff. And he was telling me one of the good things about flying on the suites is you get what's known as access to the private room. So the private room is like, basically we got this invitation with our boarding pass when we left Melbourne, and they said you can use this in Singapore, and you go to the lounge, and then they walk you past the first lounge, then the business lounge, then the first class lounge, and then there's the private room. And they have like a chef that's cooking all the time with like a menu and all that sort of thing. But what I thought, it said the 27th that would have access to it, but this was the 26th because we obviously it was still the same day. It wasn't the next morning, but they let us in, And so we like mooched it so bad. Like normally you'd think someone would be in a lounge or whatever, or like the private room for maybe 3, 4 hours, 5 hours. We were there for 16 hours. Just, Bree was... Yeah, go on.
Did you become friends with the people who were there?
No, they were all quirky characters. So, like, we felt a little bit out of our depth, but this American dude. He was like, what, Bree shaking her head? Why are you shaking your head?
No.
Well, I guess we weren't out of our depth because of the out of the depth. Oh, yeah, they were just normal people. But there was...
We were like on board with the Monopoly Man.
We weren't on board with the Monopoly Man. We can confirm we weren't. But no.
What does that mean?
I don't fucking know. She made like someone with
a top
hat.
What is on board
hat.
With the Monopoly?
Like as in there wasn't a man with a top hat. Like they were real people. No, but they were just... There was this one guy who was... who was eating, and he was like, everyone speaks loud. Like the one thing with lounges is everyone, all the older people are on FaceTime. They haven't worked out that you can use headphones and they're all talking really loud. And you've got half a dozen people who are all doing it. Like they're eating their posh food. And there's one guy and he said, Oliver, he's talking to his kid. Oliver, he's American. Oliver, I can't see you. Oliver. I shouldn't do the voice. And then he was like, oh, do you think he's mad with me? Oliver, I'm only gone for a week. Oliver, I'm going to buy you some clothes while I'm away. Oliver, like it was just the class. He was insecure, but it was just amazing that he was just like straight away going to, he's going to buy his kids clothes.
So I would have been over there talking to him. Did you talk to any other people within the lounge?
No. So Bree was knocked
out. Missed opportunity,
out.
Mate. Business, mingling, networking.
I don't know. There seemed like there was some... I mean, we were just telling stories in our head on what all these people were doing, who they were, why they... You know, I love doing that.
And so what's the rules? Can you actually milk it... For a 16-hour layover.
Yeah. Well, you arrive, you get a menu. You were telling me, like I was sending you some links or some photos of the menu when we were on the plane and you were saying that there was some fancy booze there. And we actually ended up on
Dom Perignon.
Yeah. Well, when we were on the flight from Singapore to London, ended up drinking a fair bit. And like I don't, for people who don't know, I don't normally drink. But no, I would have had like two glasses of white wine and two glasses of red.
Was it the Krug?
I just Did asked for the like Krug? The nice one. I was just like, because you could tell that they were really wanting us to have that experience. Like when we're like, oh, I'm not sure. They're like, have it. Like really pushing it on us. But no, so the menu, you can just pick from the menu whenever you want when you're in the private room. But Bree was knocked out because she had her food poisoning. She was just sort of coming off it. She didn't vomit after leaving Melbourne, which was great. But we went to a pharmacy and she got some medication and just knocked her out. She went straight to sleep. So I was just there with her knocked out and I just was eating, just like ordering stuff and just like they had little chockies and stuff in the, like all this really nice sweet food.
So just to touch on it, Russ Keyes emailed through and said, have you ruled out pregnancy with Bree?
Yeah, Bree.
We can rule out pregnancy.
Can we rule out pregnancy?
Yes, 100% you can.
Yeah, great.
And can we confirm that that's not the Singaporean drugs that were given to you to stop the gastro that was actually a baby?
No.
Let's hope that's not the case.
I think, like, do you shit yourself when you're pregnant as well? Not that Bree was shitting herself. But, like, do you get a sore tummy as well? Don't know.
Mate, you could just perpetually sick if you've got morning sickness. Just
yeah, sure.
Constantly feeling horrible. It would be like, I don't know. I saw a woman recently that I know, she has been vomiting for 12 weeks from morning sickness. So safe to say it's not. So
it's outrageous.
Russ, she's not pregnant.
Yeah, not pregnant. We can, the daily talk show rumor mill has been going crazy on that one, I'm sure. But no, so I was eating so much, but yeah, I don't know. I'm glad to be on because it was probably 40 something hours of just transit.
luxury. But so you've touched down now. I can see in the background, there's like, is that a stuffed bird? Have you touched that bird?
I don't know if it's a stuffed bird. Yeah, I think it might be a stuffed bird, yeah.
So you're in an Airbnb in London. Whereabouts in London?
Whereabouts in London are we, Bree?
We're East London.
East London. It's been described as like the lovely. Fitzroy. Near where? Hackney. We're near Hackney.
Lovely.
And
so what's the experience like? You rock up.
Yeah, so
and you meet Jeff.
Yeah, no, so yeah, John is our Airbnb guy, but we
close, so you nearly got it.
you did nearly get it. But no, we arrived in Heathrow, really easy to clear. I don't know what it is about Heathrow. I feel like I have a meltdown every single, like it's sort of a rite of passage whenever I go to Heathrow. I have a slight meltdown. I think that it's because I'm always going to London when it's when there's like a heat wave. So that's the one thing. Yeah. It's always the heat wave, and it's also always trying to get my SIM card working. I remember
I saw a friend in Heathrow yesterday take a photo, and he just wrote on it "fuck Heathrow," and it was the exit, the immigration, whatever.
Really? Do you know what happened to him? Oh, like it was just busy.
He got through, but it was just crazy busy.
Well, we were lucky because we had the fast track last time. I'll mention our luxury, yeah. But it took us 2 minutes.
And
to
Josh
get out.
Was going through the fast track while eating a steak.
So we
on a Segway.
I was actually. Well, you do get to a point because the older people, like the one thing that first class does do is all of a sudden your expectations go through the roof. So I was sort of. There's a part of me that was seeing people getting wheelchaired off the plane, like from first class, like older people, they were getting like the full treatment wheelchair. And there was a part of me which was waiting for my one to rock up so I can sit down. But the, getting the SIM card, I don't know what it is, but last time, a few times ago when I was with my mate Nasan, I had a slight meltdown on the rental car. Bus, you know, you get a bus to get the rental cars. I remember I just like, I can't remember what I said, but I just remember swearing and there was kids there and I was embarrassed at my actions. But anyway, it wasn't that much of a meltdown, was it, Bree? How do you describe what I was like at the airport?
There's no words.
No words. I know. I just literally, okay. It's not that bad. I just get a sweaty back and I just maybe a bit and just a bit short.
Yeah, a bit short, snappy, and you go red and you just focus, like you just stare at your phone and you sort of get in, you just zone out, I suppose is the word.
Yeah. What do you like, TJ, when you travel? Do you have meltdowns?
I have had meltdowns, but nah, I'm okay. I just, my problem is when I've got bags to carry, it makes me fucking, so I get really annoyed when I'm uncomfortably walking with lots of bags.
Yeah. Well, and we obviously had flying, the guy with the golf cart carrying it. No, we didn't. To be clear, we were carrying the bags.
Yeah, and so there is an anxiety. I think if you were to fly, I think about if flying first class, is it this? Because I can confirm now that I have a friend that's done it. Is that anxiety of carrying anything or like having to get through or waiting, is that all gone? Because I think that would fix it for me.
I think they're really good. Singapore Airlines were like amazing, but there's still definitely, you don't get told everything. So it would have been nice to know about, hey, I think what I was probably expecting is they would have asked, okay, where are you going from here or something? Like, I don't know, like we arrived in Singapore and we sort of were left to our own devices, which I feel like what I was expecting was for them to communicate like, oh, here's where you go, or this is the bus type of option. But
interesting. And so what time did you arrive at the house where you are now?
So we arrived only an hour ago. So we arrived at, it would have been, what's the time now? So yeah, we would have arrived around 8 p.m.
Can I have a guess how the conversation went with John?
We haven't even met John yet.
So, oh, you haven't?
No. So John sent us an Airbnb message. He had something come up. So he left the key. I don't know what he called it, but it was somewhere on the car and he used some car terminology. It was like, wasn't the wheel. It was near the wheel.
The bumper bar.
I don't know what it was, but he was. It took us a little while to find it on the car. It was just.
Can I see an English flag out the window of where you are?
I know. I think you can see. It's like a
stars.
I think it's a European Union, maybe. And so John's very passionate about the whole Brexit thing, as in he hates all the shit that's happening with Brexit. He obviously wants them to stay in the European Union. So I guess that's a way that you can show your support, which is interesting.
Well, there's your first bit of gear with him, first conversation.
Yeah.
But how did you find the Wi-Fi? How did you get the Wi-Fi password?
The Wi-Fi is great. He gives us a manual with all of the details, which is nice and handy. But the thing is, man, it's the London just isn't set up for this heat. So it's like it is very, very hot right now.
It shits itself. Are you in a jumper?
No, I'm in a t-shirt. The problem was that I was in a jumper for a long time. Bree's just taking... Bree, what are you taking a picture of?
Perfume that we got on the flight. I'm trying to give it to a friend.
So Bree...
They gave you perfume on the first class flight.
Yeah, so that's one thing that you do get is you get like these... You get like a candle and perfume and all of that sort of stuff. And so you wear pajamas. Like I put pajamas on straight away when I got there.
Can you not be one of the guys that wears the pajamas around? Is it your rebrand?
I don't think it's a rebrand.
Getting the full use of your first class experience.
Well, I've got the. It's not like the classic because I feel like when you think about the people that wear it, they wear the Qantas ones, which are very obvious. These feel like they're a little bit subtle, but they would be good probably winter attire. You wouldn't want to wear them in the summer, but yeah. I mean, are you missing me?
Mate, it's been 48 hours and I've had updates. Nah, it's actually really fucking depressing seeing your mate going through something like this.
Well, that's why I wanted feel to say, like the funny thing is, it's like really, it is really, really enjoyable. But I think what people forget is you still, even in the best situations, little things happen and you just need to like... get perspective straight away and like revert to gratitude because you can be like, hang on, how am I getting upset that my SIM card's not working? Like, the reason I was getting all hot was because they said that you get a bonus 10 gig of data and I only had 3 gig and the guy wasn't being very helpful. I was just like...
you see how rich people can be out of touch.
Yeah.
Because it's just the same behavior will translate throughout. Doesn't just mean that you'll be like, oh, so thankful for once you have everything.
Well, some people are just used to it, right? Like they're very good at getting drinks and stuff like that. But people, like the guy who was saying, Oliver, he sat down and said, could I get two slices of lime in sparkling water, please? I just thought that was such it was such a specific thing to ask. Bree's nodding her head. What were you going to say?
And then I don't know if you were there, but he then also asked if he could have a small sample of almond milk and soy milk to take aboard the flight.
Wow. So this is...
Killer requirements. But I think he had issues with dairy. That's why.
I mean, I did hear him asking for soy.
There's a lot of people that have issues with dairy. Right.
So I think that is definitely the thing that is nice is that there are people who are, if you have, like, they were so nice to Bree. Bree, talk about what was your experience like having food poisoning? Talk us through beat by beat the from Melbourne to when it was all over for you.
So no pressure. From when I was completely vomiting and everything.
Yeah, I'm going to put my headphones on so Tommy... I'm going to put the headphones on Bree so she can hear Tommy. And so, Tommy, feel free to ask Bree questions or anything like that. But so, Bree... Right,
thank God Josh is gone. Thank God it's you and me now, Bree. How are you, babe?
Yes, feeling much better now.
You look much better. Josh sent me a photo and I said, that looked like Amy the whole entire honeymoon that we were on. You look so sick.
I was so sick. So it was Monday night, wasn't it? I was having dinner at my dad's place and all of a sudden I just started to feel really sick and then just started vomiting, like terribly. And so that day, all I'd pretty much had was a banana smoothie, and then I had a soba noodle salad, which I basically like shoved down my throat within 5 minutes. And I thought,
and so you reckon it was that?
Well, I thought maybe it's because I ate so quickly, and that's why I was feeling that way. But I don't think so. So anyway, from there, I then had to go from my dad's, which is in Berwick. So that was like, what, 30 minutes from our house where we're staying. And then I also had to drop my car in Pakenham at my mum. So I was already vomiting and sick, and I had to drive to my mum's house in Pakenham to drop our car, because that's where we were keeping our car while we're away. Got to my
mum. I just want to vomit for having to do that.
Oh.
Having to do what you had.
Jeez. It was so bad. And then my poor mum, like, I got to her house. This is like the last time I'm seeing my mum before we're going away. And I'm just walked through the door. I was like, I have to go to the toilet. And just like,
oh no,
that poor thing. And then left her house. And then dad came with me. My dad drove me back in his car to the place we were staying at so that I could leave my car there. And then got home and was just vomiting and just terrible. And then by that point, I hadn't even called and told Josh I was feeling unwell, because I just felt so shit. And then basically I was supposed to pack that night. I'd sort of laid everything out on the bed and just couldn't do it. It was just absolutely vomiting the whole time. Just didn't stop. So it went from about...
Did Josh pack for you?
No. No, he just sort of said, oh, what do you want me to do? Is there anything I can do? Can I help you? No, I'm saying, like, he asked if you packed for me. But he couldn't pack for me, really.
I did offer to, like, I went and got, like, a paper towel to clean up Bree's vomit.
Yeah, yeah. No, he did. No, there was a point where I vomited and I was in the bathroom and he sort of kept trying to come in. I said, do not come in here. Because I just didn't want him to see me. And then he still came in, and then I had vomited on the floor, which was disgusting. It was just a real point.
Because she was going to the toilet, because it was coming out both ends. Yes. So she's sitting on the toilet and she vomited.
Thank you. Yes. So I was like, it's better to go that way. And so he came in, and then I was trying to clean up the vomit from the floor. To your listeners, I am so sorry, because this is you should put some sort of warning at the beginning of this. And so then Josh cleaned up my vomit, which was just so romantic and disgusting at the same time. I really, really appreciated it.
So my concern was that it was not food poisoning, because I've actually spoken to doctors and they say that you can't tell, other than how long it lasts for, sometimes you actually don't know whether it is food poisoning or gastro, because it can be like a 24-hour bug, or it could just be food poisoning, but they can't tell.
Yeah, well, I still don't know what it was, because I was pretty much vomiting up until about, I think, 5 a.m. the next morning. And I'd just gone to bed. Like, I gave up on packing, got up at 3:30 in the morning to pack. And then after that, I sort of felt okay. But I just was nauseous pretty much the whole time. Couldn't eat on the first flight.
Well, Josh has been going from both ends, but it's just because he ate himself stupid on the first class flight.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I haven't been at the problem, actually. One thing about all of this food, you eat all of this food.
You ate enough of the both of us, which was good.
Yeah, not only did but the other problem was that there's not much fiber. So I've eaten all this food and I've taken one like tiny little shit. So it's all just sitting in me. It's disgusting.
No, it's because of flying. Flying makes you constipated.
Oh, so, yeah, that would make sense. But that was so good aboard the Singapore Airlines flight. Like, I was worried to tell them that I was feeling unwell, because I thought maybe they were going to think I was contagious or something. But they sort of kept asking me if I wanted to eat, and I ended up telling the air hostess that I felt really unwell. And she was just like, she got me a hot cup of water. She got me tea. She was like, straight away got me a blanket. And then she was like, oh, I can get you some medication. Like, they were so lovely, like pretty much tucked me in.
They were feeling her head, like temperature.
Yeah, they kept coming over, feeling my feet. They were like, oh, you've got a fever. Like, so lovely, because I got the shakes, like I was shivering and stuff. And I kept going into these things where I was like freezing. It was awful. And they were so lovely. Like, I wanted to hug her at the end. I almost felt like I had a mum on board. It was so nice. And it was the same when we got to the lounge. They were so lovely. It was a few people have said to me, oh, what a shame and a waste of first class. But in a way, I'm like, well, if I'm going to be sick, like, it's a good place to be sick because they really just looked after me, which was really nice.
Yeah, we justify it to ourselves. We said when we spent $20,000 on our honeymoon and Amy was sick the whole time, we said, well, we'd rather be sick while overseas and in Greece on an island versus being sick at home in Melbourne in the cold winter.
So yeah, well, that's...
We make it work for ourselves.
You make it work. And I got to enjoy the second leg of the flight to, you know, to its full by having all the food and all that and had a couple of wines with Josh. So that was good.
Ooh la la.
I know, how fancy.
There we go. All right. There's Bree's story.
Oh, thanks, Pam. Here you go.
I'm just putting the headphones back on. It was a great experience. Oh, before we go, one thing that is always awkward is people asking about whether we're married or not, and I just like...
You went bright red, so red when they were asking him if I was his wife.
No, because so the funny. Reason that I went red was because they didn't say. Are you married? They said, you're married. And I was like, okay. So it put me in this position where he sort of said, how long have you been together for? And I was like, 10 years, like married for 10 years. And I didn't know that, you know, like in Dubai, you have to be married to be in a hotel.
See your
room.
Wife?
Yeah, exactly. No, well, you have to be married to be in a hotel room with someone of the opposite sex. It's like it's a law. So if you go to Dubai, you can't be just boyfriend and girlfriend. It's always husband and wife. And so when in Singapore, when we were on the flight and he was doing that whole like, oh, the married thing. Oh, yeah, of course you're married. I didn't know whether it was some legal requirement. So I was going with it and I was like, fogging up, my glasses were all fogged up, and then at the end of the flight, he said, "Oh, I just found out that you guys aren't married." I was just like, "Yeah,
I'm so sorry."
Yeah, well, it was big.
Oh no! See, this is what you own it from the start, Josh, because yeah, then, or it makes it more awkward.
We are
by married.
We are basically like we're everything but the wedding.
Well, are you?
Yeah. Well, all right.
And so. The certificate and the actual legal binding of the. Yeah, relationship.
Right. Okay. All right. Settle down. It's the
Daily
Talk
stickers
show.
Are going. Stickers are going out tomorrow. Yeah.
Amazing, man. I saw the. I just had a quick squiz at the inbox. There was a bunch of people who asked for them. So thank you for organising that.
So what do you reckon? Four or five stickers each. Four or six.
I reckon
one or five.
I think you do five stickers each. But what I was going to say is it would be nice for you to write a personal note for each one, but you don't have great handwriting, do you?
I get fucked.
But do you have good handwriting?
Better than yours. I've seen yours. So
really? I write in all caps. Okay. No, well, that's exciting. So, yeah, people get their... can you actually... I know I said that I was looking after the Europe ones. I'll still look after that. I'll still do.
You're looking after the Europe. Yeah, we've got Sam Mack on tomorrow.
Yeah. That really fun chat. He is the weather guy for Sunrise, which is a huge breakfast, morning show, TV show in Australia. And him and I have a history that he probably wasn't even that aware of. So that was good fun.
Yeah, when you stalk people, sometimes if you do it well, they don't know. So yeah,
exactly. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. So, that's what's happening tomorrow. It's Thursday here. Well, it's actually Wednesday night, Thursday morning in Melbourne. And
confusing. It's episode 118.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it. Now that we've gone over the flight, it's all downhill from here. So there'll be less Lux stories to come. But thanks for listening, everyone. I think I'm going to go to bed soon.
All right, guys. I'm going to get up and go to work.
All right. Catch ya.